When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
I have spoken in the past on Thunder Punch Daily and other podcasts that I've been a part of about my suspicion, how I'm suspicious of myself that sometimes I add work to my process in order to quote unquote protect myself from bad drawings. If I add more steps, if I redraw the page one more time, then surely it will be a good drawing because I worked so hard on it and I put so many hours into it, right? And then recently, and it was actually, I think it was chronicled in this year's Art Sound Off Challenge, which this episode is a part of, a cartoonist friend of mine noticed that my rough pencils were, in his words, strong enough to go straight to inks from. He said, everything is there. All the structure is there. And this was opinion was echoed by another cartoonist friend of mine. So I thought, well, what the heck? I'll give it a try. I'm going to go straight to inks from my loose pencils on this project I'm finishing up the deadline on right now. And I've done 3 or 4 pages that way. And, you know, upon first glance, when I looked at things, I was like, I can't tell the difference. This looks like the pages that went before. I perceive no dip in quality of the artwork. And then I did a couple, and then I let it sit. And I didn't look at them for a while. And then I came back and I looked at them again. I was like, yep, I still don't see any dip in quality. It looks the same as the work that came before. Therefore, we're dropping it for the rest of the book. Yeah, I think it's working so far. It's a little bit of a jump to trust myself that much, that am I going to be able to see through this mess of jumbled lines when I go to inks? Well, I do when I do the pencils, so why wouldn't I when I do the inks? But it's a little bit of a... It feels like a leap of faith for me. I'm looking at some of the pencils I just finished, the rough pencils, what would have served as my rough pencils before. And yeah, it looks loose. It looks really loose. But I think structurally it's all there. It's just, I haven't gone in and cleaned it up all that much. So, and what does this mean in terms of scheduling? Well, I mean, it shaves 45 minutes of work out of the process. So I feel like to use athletic terms, like I beat the 4 minute mile. I can, some of these pages are being finished in under 4 hours, pencils, inks, colors, letters, or not colors, tones. That's incredible. I don't know if I've ever done comics work at that pace before. And I'm going to need it. I mean, the deadline's coming in tight, and I've got a lot of work to do yet. And I still have to design the cover, and I have to design the inside front cover and back cover. And, you know, there's a lot of design work that needs to happen as well. So it's going to be intense this last leg of the race to continue on with this sports analogy. But it seems like the math works out. Here's a funny thing. I know I've talked about this before. There's something I am such a sucker for tricking myself into, well, the numbers work out if I just put in this many hours every day or this many days a week or this many hours a week, I can pull this off. Funny stuff always happens, right? Different situations are going to arise, and for whatever reason, it's going to become a lot more complicated than just simple numbers on paper. But, you know, I have been tracking with my beloved ETP, the Emergent Task Planner, davidsay.com. You know, I talk about it a lot. The journal through which I track all the time I put into my projects, and at the end of the day, each day I write down, an assessment of how much time each page took. And so I have a clear record here of the pace that I'm keeping. So as long as I don't screw up too bad, I should be able to pull it off. But yeah, it's pretty remarkable to hit that milestone. Now, I haven't been showing this work off. Actually, I have been showing this work off on my Patreon, patreon.com/jersey. I've been posting the pages of this project. I was given permission by the client to post the pages privately on my Patreon. So if you really want to see them, you can see them there. But just to make it clear that while I am shaking my fists over my shoulders, it's not just the workflow that's allowing me to hit this speed. It's also the art style. I'm specifically using an art style on this book that was chosen to emphasize a gritty and kind of worn out world. It's a post-apocalyptic environment that this story takes place in, and it's black and white. And the style just happens to be one that allows me to work a lot faster than normal. It just worked out that way. Originally, I was nervous about the style because I thought it was going to take me longer because it's not a visual style that I've been using for years and years. But then once I started laying down the lines on the page, I was like, oh, I see why this would go a lot faster. And then when I'm toning it, I'm not using flats or anything. I'm just going in with the Frendon's watercolor brush and just splashing it around as if it was on paper. So that makes it go faster too. So there's a lot of choices that went into this that fortunately made this thing go quickly. But it's a pretty satisfying feeling to be able to, you know, crank out the work, for lack of a better term. But I come back to this idea of like, okay, so why didn't I do this a long time ago? And I think, at least in my case, in this particular instance, this is a situation where I was equating amount of hours to as a measurement of whether or not it's finished, right? And I just finished a class, when was it, like three episodes ago I talked about this, where the goal of the project was that the kids will all have a finished story that's printed in an anthology. And one of the things that I you know, as I'm encouraging the kids and pressing them on to get this thing done, I tell them, you know, like the tired old expression that art isn't finished, it's abandoned or whatever. But it's still hard to tell sometimes, right? It's hard to tell when it's done. And sometimes you have to put it down for a couple days, not look at it, come back. And that's what I did with these test pages I was doing. You know, you put them down for a couple days, come back and look at them fresh and see if it looks like it needs anything more. Usually that helps me figure out if it's done. But even then, it's still hard to tell. It's even when you've been doing this a long time, it's really hard to tell sometimes when it's really done. And so I think not only did that sort of hour prerequisite, like it needs to be 5 hours or more to know a page isn't baked unless you've been working on it for 5 hours or more. So that prerequisite, like, not only helped assure me that the drawings are good, it also helped assure me that I've put in enough hours into it. Like, what happens if I can finish a comics page in like 2 hours? Oh my gosh, that would be amazing, right? That sounds like it would be amazing, but it also becomes kind of scary because then it turns into a situation where it's like, well, did I really put everything I had into it? Maybe I just get that fast, right? But after years and years of being accustomed to how long it takes to do a comics page, right? Like when I first started, it would take me 8 or 9 hours to pencil a page or more, right? And I remember doing some double page spreads when I was doing my stuff at Antarctic Press, and they would be, you know, it'd be 12 to 15 hours doing that. So, I guess I'm wondering aloud about speed limits and what kinds of mental tricks they can play on us when we start thinking in terms of like how, and this is something I tell my students all the time in the classroom, is like, there's no two artists who work at the same pace. Cause like there's some kids who like, they dash out the idea and it just happens and they got the page done in one session, an hour and a half session. While the other kid is just, they're still working out their thumbnails, you know? And like that, I see it happen with children. They look at each other and like, oh my gosh, I must not be doing it right because she's already done and I'm still working on this part, you know? And I have to go around and reassure them like, no. No two artists work at the same pace. But it's a very tempting idea, right? It's when you're floundering about, faking it as you go and just trying not to drown, any kind of standard, anything that looks like it could be a standard, is a very tempting idea. help give you some wayfinding and guidance. And I'm not saying it's all chaos and nonsense, but it's worth questioning the things that we use as wayfinding tools. Get verification. Is that the speed limit? I guess that's what I'm trying to explore today. I don't know if I'm doing a good job of it, but that's the entry. So this, as I said, this is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge. Oh, who am I? Jersey Drozd, cartoonist and teaching artist, boulderandfleet.com, Jersey on Twitter, Jersey on Patreon. And this podcast is part of the Art Sound Off Challenge. I spent this afternoon while I was penciling, catching up on some Art Sound Off entries that I missed while I was away. And it's super exciting to hear all the different voices and all the different points of view. So if you haven't checked it out yet, go to Twitter, do a hashtag search for Art Sound Off. And that's what everybody's been tagging their posts with. You can see some people have been posting YouTube videos. Some people have been posting podcasts. Some people have been posting audio entries on different services like Clip. I never even heard of that until this art challenge happened. But yeah, it's just like a whole bunch of different artists just weighing in on different things they think about when they make art. It's pretty cool. And it's a great way to get some like additional context on the work of people whose work you may have been admiring. Like Diju San of Gray Is has been posting. Rob Stenzinger, my buddy from Lean Into Art, has been posting. Leonard Angelo and Owen Jolens and Shadowing Tronics and Marshall Kocher, whole bunch of people. So anyway, there's my ad. All right, so I will be back tomorrow with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, you saw how the Widgets were fooled by Evelyn's disguise. They learned that bad things can be made to look good and why we should always be careful and question everything that doesn't seem right. But it works both ways, and that's why the saying you can't judge a book by its cover is so important. What it means is that appearances can be deceiving, and you shouldn't judge books or people by the way they look. It's what's inside that really counts.